sooner or later, you can bet your life that every Jew in this building is going to say the same thing. He's a little too Jewish for my taste.
Shalom, and welcome to the Two Jewish Radio Show with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. We'll have a great hour together of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our guest this morning is Rabbi Wayne Dossick, writer, speaker, spiritual guide, and healer, author of The Real Name of God. We'll also have visits from our two Jewish expert on the international scene, Tom Price. Please email your comments to us at twojewishradio@yahoo.com or visit us on the web at twojewishradio.com. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Kohan and Two Jewish.
Shalom. It's hard for me to believe that April is nearly over. And here in the Southwest, that means that while it can be just gorgeous and springtimey, it is also beginning to heat up. Everything is blooming beautifully now. Even the cactus flowers are spectacular. And while I know that temperatures in Denver for a Major League Baseball game last week were in the 20s, it was in the 90s here in southern Arizona that same day, which means we are in for a long, hot summer yet again. Not really anything to complain about. What would Judaism be without some kvetching, though? But still, the year seems to be flying by. Before you know it, we'll be talking about summer vacations and wondering what the heck happened to the first half of 2013. Which got me to thinking about the structure of the Jewish year, which has elements within it built into it by design to slow us down and make us think about our lives. The Jewish calendar, filled as it is with special holidays and commemorations, gives a certain rhythm to life. Graces it with markers and breaks that work to give us a consciousness of the holiness of life and the gift that God has given us with this natural world. When we observe Shabbat weekly, we are compelled to take a day off for rest and peace, to stop working, and to try to just live. When we prepare for and celebrate a major festival, we acknowledge that there are bigger ideas and issues in this life than are encompassed in our daily grind. It's hard to feel romantic about a calendar, but the truth is that the Jewish calendar is a kind of work of genius, sometimes a bit of a mad genius maybe, but still genius, that allows us to more fully and deeply experience the richness and holiness of life. Right now, we're in the Hebrew month of Iyar, and we're gradually working our way towards the festival of Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks. This period itself is the 7-week period of the counting of the Omer, a season in which we Jews enumerate each day as a way to make sure that each day counts. It's a time when we're asked to prepare to move from the experience of freedom that we celebrated at Passover to a time of covenant and commitment when we recall the giving of the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. We are metaphorically journeying with our ancestors from the crossing of the Reed Sea to the foot of a great holy mountain, trying to find a little bit of holiness in each day in such a way that we can sense God's presence to a greater degree in our lives. The blessing of the Omer is a very simple one. Basically, thank you, God, for commanding us to count each day, and then the announcement of which day is being counted in the Omer. Today, for example, is the 34th day of the Omer, marking 4 weeks and 6 days since Pesach, Passover, and 16 days until Shavuos, Shavuot. The chant goes something like this.
Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al sfirat haomer. Hayom 34 yamim shem 4 shavuot ושישה ימים לאומר.
It's not that there's anything remarkably special about today, although we do celebrate the observance of the funky little holiday of Lag BaOmer today. normally held yesterday on the actual 33rd day of the Omer, but deferred a day this year because the tradition of lighting big bonfires on Lag BaOmer can't happen on the Shabbat, on Sabbath. It is, in a way, the very ordinariness of counting every day that pushes us to recognize that every day can be holy. Each day can and maybe should be special. Every single one really does have meaning. It's a great lesson in any season of the year. Frankly, a good lesson for every day of the year. And it reminds us in this period of the Omer, it reminds each of us to pay more attention, to strive, to make every day matter. Like today. To play us in on this fine spring morning, this 34th day of the counting of the Omer, here's a wonderful rendition of a classic prayer that's appended after the counting of the Omer, called Sheyabona Beis HaMikdash, from the great cantor Yitzchak Meir Helfgott and the phenomenal violinist Yitzchak Perlman, and their recent CD, Eternal Echoes. That was cantor Yitzchak Meir Helfgott and Yitzchak Perlman performing some of Sheyabona Beis HaMikdash for the counting of the Omer. Special thanks to my dad, Rabbi and cantor Baruch J. Kohan, for the gift of that CD. I should note that it's my dad's birthday today. Happy birthday, Dad. 87 years young today. Amazing. When we come back on Too Jewish This Morning, we'll meet one of the most interesting and innovative rabbis today. Rabbi Wayne Dossick is a mystic, a healer, a scholar, a teacher, and a genuinely fascinating guy. Find out all about him when we come back on Too Jewish.
Folks, it's time you experience the Jim Click difference at Jim Click Mazda. Get more discounts, more peace of mind, and more selection with two Mazda locations to serve you. The all-new 2014 Mazda 6 is now in stock and ready for immediate delivery. And folks, it's all new body style, it looks absolutely great, and it's priced at only $249 a month. And the 2013 Mazda 3 is now a bid price of just $15,999. More discounts, more peace of mind, and more selection. 10 brands to choose from. That's the power to save. That's the Jim Craig difference.
Parents in Tucson have many choices on where to send their children to school. Consider the best. Consider Tucson Hebrew Academy. Now is the time to secure your spot for the upcoming school year. With a beautiful Foothills K-8 campus and award-winning academics, you owe it to your children to visit THA, Tucson Hebrew Academy, and see what they have to offer. Your child belongs at THA. THA delivers. Low student-teacher ratio supports successful, rigorous academics, and they don't stop there. With an emphasis on the arts, science, and music, THA students learn the Hebrew language and are taught Jewish values along with a rigorous academic curriculum. Your child deserves the best. Call 529-3888 to schedule your tour of THA. Financial aid is available. Don't wait. Space is limited. That's 529-3888 or visit www.thaaz.org. We are delighted to welcome to Two Jewish our guest this morning, Rabbi Wayne Dossick. He's a writer, speaker, spiritual guide, and healer who teaches and counsels faith and spirit, Jewish ethical values, life transformation, and evolving human consciousness. That's really a mouthful to introduce you, to be honest. He has written 8 books. The latest is called The Real Name of God, Embracing the Full Essence of the Divine. He's the host of Spirit Talk Live, Journeys into Mind, Heart, and Soul, a weekly internet program on Healthy Life Net, and Spirit Talk Live, a weekly internet TV program. Rabbi Dossick has a reputation as an outstanding, innovative, and very creative teacher, and we're delighted to welcome him to Two Jewish. Good morning.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you.
Okay, I have to ask you. So in some of your material, you talk about being a healer. Talk a little bit just about that aspect of your work.
Well, one of the things that we do is we work with the indigo children, the children who have come to this earth in their magnificence to be the paradigm shifters to help move us from this 3D world in which we live into the 5D world, which we Jews call Eden on Earth once again. And some of them come in their great magnificence, and some come in their great pain and dissonance from their perfect vision being smacked by this really imperfect world. And so we work with the indigo children to help them feel better in this world and to not have to be schlepped from therapist to therapist and special ed class to special ed class and be given all those drugs that doctors and parents use to control them. So that's one aspect. The other aspect, of course, is spiritual healing, which is from the Hasidic tradition. A Rebbe is a spiritual healer. Helps people in their spiritual formation.
Explain for those of our audience who don't know what an indigo child is.
The indigo children are the ones you know so well. They are bright, creative, innovative, energetic, enthusiastic. They're wise beyond their years. You can look into their soul eyes and see deep into their souls. And they have come to be the paradigm shifters to move this world forward in its evolution. And again, some of them are still in their magnificence and others are in great pain for the dissonance between their perfect vision and this world. And so they are mostly the children that we all know in our homes, in our classrooms, in our synagogues, in our churches, and certainly in our schools.
So kids that might have been labeled as behavior problems or challenges to their parents, challenges in school, finding healing through spirituality?
Well, through the spiritual level of their lives. Everybody who's tried to help children has done so on a rational cognitive basis and place. But the issue is that the children's woundings, their emotional woundings, are on a deep spiritual energetic level, and that's where they have to be healed.
Fascinating. We will talk much more with Rabbi Wayne Dossick. That was a little vorspeis, just a foretaste, when we come back on Two Jewish.
When you're looking to buy or sell your home, you probably want Tucson's best realtor on your side. That realtor is Jill Rich. As real estate values change, it's comforting to know that Jill Rich knows Tucson's real estate landscape. She follows the trends. She knows the neighborhoods. She even knows how to help you find financing. But most importantly,
Jill cares. It doesn't matter if you're looking for a starter home or a castle. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. For sellers, Jill will develop a personal marketing program that'll sell your house fast. There's no one who knows Tucson real estate better. You can reach Jill Rich at Long Realty's River and Campbell office. Call 349-0174. Jill Rich, providing strong representation in a caring way. Call 349-0174.
If you have a question, comment, compliment, or criticism, kvetch or kvel, please email us at twojewishradio@yahoo.com or visit our website at twojewishradio.com, T-O-O, Jewish Radio. You can stream all past and present shows through the website or download us to the Apple iTunes Store as very popular Jewish podcasts. Well, last Sunday afternoon, I had the pleasure of seeing last week's guest, Noe Jacobson, and the wonderful Jewish a cappella group, the Maccabees, at our Israel Festival here in Tucson, Arizona, where I live. I have to tell you, they were simply terrific, better live than even in their very popular YouTube videos. They performed a wonderful variety of a cappella songs with great musical precision and even better energy and spirit. And their specifically Jewish material, both the parodies and the covers they've recorded, as well as one fully original song, were the highlights of a terrific show. My general assumption before seeing them was that they would prove to be a kind of two- or three-hit wonder as a Jewish musical group, famous for their 9 million viewer hit Candlelight and a couple of nice follow-up songs for Purim and Passover, but otherwise a flash in the pan. But seeing them live, I must tell you, they are extremely talented. And if they can keep up this great work, I think they will continue to grow into a kind of Jewish crossover a cappella band that could last a very long time. Usually overnight sensations in this world have been working their tails off for years. Or they pop up and fade from view as quickly as they rise, like Jeremy Lin. But these guys are likely to be around for a while, and that's good news. Just to give us a little more of the Maccabees, here's a lesser-known cut of theirs, a beautiful setting of Alenu, the prayer at the conclusion of services, a kind of messianic, hopeful text in the liturgy, in a hopeful-sounding Maccabee form.
Aleinu l'shabeyach ladon hakol laseis gidula yotzer yireishis laseis gidula yotzer yireishis aleinu Lishabeyach ladon hakol laseis gidula yotzer yireishis laseis gidula yotzer yireishis v'anachnu korim u'mishtachavim Mishtachavim u'modim lifnei melech malchei ha-milachim ha-kodosh baruch hu v'anachnu korim u'mishtachavim u'mishtachavim Modim lifnei melech malchei ha-milachim ha-kodosh baruch hu.
Those were lovely harmonies from the Maccabees. It's nice to hear such a beautiful song about hope, especially in the week after the terrible events in Boston. Normally now we would hear from Guy Gelbert, our maven on Israel, but Guy and his wife had a new baby last week, so we'll wait to bring him back when we can. Mazel tov. When we do come back, we'll hear from our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price, and get the old Jewish joke of the week.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
We welcome our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Rabbi.
Okay, now this may not seem like the most Jewish of subjects, but there's a new pope, Francis I, who is the first pope from the New World, who had a very good relationship with the Argentinian Jewish community. And by the way, the only book that he's written that's in print now was written in conversation with a rabbi in Argentina. So there's some very interesting positive signs for the Jewish community. The larger question is, why does this matter to Jews who the Pope is?
Well, historically, the Roman Catholic Church, and particularly the pontiff who sits at its head and gives it direction, has played a huge role in Jewish history, not only in Christian-Jewish relations, but in the lives of the many Jews who lived in countries in Europe that were essentially under the control of the church, certainly until the Protestant Reformation, when every Christian country in Europe, which meant every country in Europe, was a Catholic country, and most of the crowned heads of state were, in fact, crowned by the Pope and ruled at his pleasure. He could excommunicate them. So, yeah, I mean, in some ways, in feudal society and in the Middle Ages, the Pope sat at the top of a big pyramid, and on the bottom layer of that pyramid were Jews who were subject to his whims. Now, the question is, you know, to what extent has that changed, and is the identity of the Pope still relevant to Jewish populations anywhere in the world? And I think that the answer is yes, perhaps not so much in our country. Although even here, I mean, if the Pope or one of his subordinates, a cardinal or an archbishop, declares that a particular movie, is so anti-church that watching that movie is a mortal sin, that can kill that movie's box office receipts. And so an industry that is widely regarded as being important to Jews, the Hollywood movie-making industry, is in some sense subject to the whims of church teaching and church dictates. More importantly, though, I think that the, you know, huge percentage of the world's population, which is Catholic, is divided about whether the church needs to change and evolve and show some sign of keeping up with the times, or stay the very conservative institution that it's been for a long time, which sort of precludes full participation of women. It stops, it excludes married clergy. It isn't very open to change. The fact that this pope took a new name, he's the first Pope Francis, the fact that he's from the New World, many people see as a hopeful sign, even though he's, you know, an old white guy. he's selected from a group of old white guys, and in many ways he represents a fresh wind, and I think brings hope to many Catholics that the church will begin to evolve in positive directions. And I think it should bring also hope to Jews that maybe Jewish-Christian relations will improve even further than they have done in the past 40 or 50 years, starting with Pope John the 23rd and Vatican II and all that.
John Paul II.
Right, right.
Yeah, the one thing I would say is I think Jewish-Catholic relations, and maybe more largely Christian relations, have improved more in the last 40 years than in the previous 1900.
Exactly, right.
Thanks, Tom. We'll talk next week.
I look forward to it.
It's time now for our old Jewish joke of the week. Jewish humor your Bubby and Zadie knew, brought to you by Too Jewish as a public service. Dr. Bloom was known for his miraculous cures for arthritis. He had a waiting room full of patients seeking his help. A little old lady shuffled in slowly, leaning heavily on her cane. When her turn came, she struggled into the doctor's office and closed the door. 15 minutes later, amazingly, she emerged from Dr. Bloom's office walking completely erect with her head held high. A woman watching her said, "It's a miracle. You walked in here bent in half. 15 minutes later, you're walking upright. What did that miracle man, Dr. Bloom, do?" And the old lady answered, "Miracle schmiracle. He gave me a longer cane." That was the old Jewish joke of the week, special feature of Two Jewish Just for You. You should live and be well. And now a word of Torah. This week we read the Seder of Bahar B'chukotai, a double portion at the end of the book of Leviticus. In these final portions of this middle book of the Torah, there are interesting oddities and lessons, both at the beginning and the end of each section. Bahar begins with a statement. God spoke to Moses at Mount Sinai, saying, Bahar Sinai, a seemingly unambiguous phrase. And at the end of the opening covenantal section of B'chukotai, the Torah reiterates that God gave all of these regulations and laws contained herein at Mount Sinai. Finally, B'chukotai concludes the book of Vayikra by telling us, these are the commandments that God commanded Moses for the Israelites on Mount Sinai. Well and good. These rules of holiness and personal conduct were commanded at Mount Sinai. But earlier in Leviticus, it makes it pretty clear that God has given most of these commandments not at Mount Sinai itself, but in the tabernacle in the wilderness, the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting, as the people wandered around long after they left Sinai. In fact, the whole book of Leviticus is apparently given after we left Sinai and began our journey to the Promised Land. Clearly, as Bahar begins, the Israelites can't possibly still be at Sinai. What gives? The question troubles the rabbinic commentators who believe that the Torah never wastes a phrase, never uses kefel lashon, and never makes a mistake. Their brilliant answer teaches us a profound truth, not just about the Torah, but about ourselves. For Mount Sinai is not just a geographical location, not a simple matter of a mountain or a place at all. Wherever we learn and do mitzvot, whenever we complete ethical acts, do tzedakah, observe religious rituals with sanctity and meaning, study Torah, or work to perfect the world through tikkun olam, wherever and whenever we strive to make the world a holier, more Jewish place, we are standing at Mount Sinai. Almost literally, as committed Jews, we take Mount Sinai with us and bring God's presence into the world. What a powerful message. As we conclude this book of Leviticus, focused fully on creating holiness, we learn that we can make our own lives as holy as the revelation at Mount Sinai simply by studying and living Torah each day. So may we act. When we come back on Two Jewish, our guest, Rabbi Wayne Dossick, promises to teach us the one real name of God. Find out what it is and how he figured it out when we come back on Two Jewish.
Environmental Strategies Incorporated was established in Arizona almost 15 years ago. They're a corporation that's very unique and has distinguished itself as one of the foremost environmental remediation companies in Arizona. Environmental Strategies, Inc. is also a full-service general contractor. The fact that they have two divisions affords their clients the opportunity to work with one contractor to deal with environmental problems as well as their building and remodeling needs. Environmental Strategies clientele range from single-family homeowners to multi-million-dollar Fortune 500 companies. So, if you're in need of asbestos abatement, mold remediation, or general contracting services, call Environmental Strategies at 884-1114. And, if you wish, ask for Ken Goodman, the president. He'd be more than happy to talk with you about your project. That's Environmental Strategies, 884-1114.
Folks, it's time for you to experience the Jim Click Kia difference. Get more discounts, more peace of mind, and more selection. 2013 Kia Soul is now starting at just $14,988 and only $159 a month. So drive home the fuel-efficient 2013 Kia Rio, special event price only $159 a month. And remember, every Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. More discounts, more peace of mind, and more selection, 10 brands to choose from. That's the power to save. That's the Jim Click difference. Kia, the power to surprise.
We continue with our Two Jewish update on news of Jews around the world with commentary.
Lots of post-Boston Marathon massacre news today with a Jewish slant to it. Tamerlan Tsarnaev, one of the two brothers suspected of carrying out the horrible Boston Marathon bombing, told a relative last week he was seeking a copy of the protocols of the Elders of Zion. Elmirza Khozugov, who was married for a time to Tsarnaev's sister, Alina, said that Tsarnaev had been radicalized by a Muslim convert whom he named as Misha. Tsarnaev started visiting conspiracy websites, Khozugov said, and was seeking a copy of the protocols, a notorious Tsarist Russian anti-Semitic forgery, positing world control by a Jewish conspiracy. Federal authorities have charged Tsarnaev's younger brother and accomplice, Shokar, with using a weapon of mass destruction in his role in planting the bombs that killed three people and wounded scores more in last week's Boston Marathon. The older Tsarnaev brother was killed in a shootout with police at the end of the week. It's still not clear what motivated these terrible attacks. And in other kind of awful news, Richard Falk, an official for the UN Human Rights Council, said in an online commentary that he blamed the Boston Marathon bombing on Tel Aviv. As long as Tel Aviv has the compliant ear of the American political establishment, those who wish for peace and justice in the world should not rest easy, Falk. The council's special reporter on the Palestinian territories wrote in an op-ed that he posted to the online Foreign Policy Journal. Falk also said that the George W. Bush administration was complicit in the 9/11 attack, so take it for what it's worth. He called the Boston attack retribution for the actions of the U.S. military in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Pakistan. The American global domination project is bound to generate all kinds of resistance in the post-colonial world, Falk wrote. In some respects, the U.S. has been fortunate not to experience worse blowbacks, and these may yet happen, especially if there is no disposition to rethink U.S. relations to others in the world, starting with the Middle East. In recent months, Falk published an anti-Semitic cartoon on his blog and called for a boycott of Israel. B'nai B'rith International called for Falk's removal from the Human Rights Council, saying that his latest string of inflammatory remarks, whether on the internet or in one of his reports, quote-unquote, to the council, has no place in the UN, and his continued presence on the UNHRC further undermines the credibility of the system, if it had any to begin with. Hillel Neuer, executive director of UN Watch, sent letters to UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and to the U.S. ambassador to the UN, Susan Rice, calling on them to condemn Falk's odious and preposterous remarks. Well, in other odd post-Boston massacre news, Israeli lawmakers are condemning U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry's comparison of the Boston Marathon bombing victims to the 2010 deaths of Turkish citizens aboard the Mavi Marmara ship. Lawmakers from parties on the right and left slammed Secretary of State Kerry's remarks. It is never helpful when a moral equivalency is made confusing terrorists with their victims, Deputy Defense Minister Danny Danon of the Likud Party said of Kerry's statement. The Mavi Marmara, in May of 2010, attempted to evade a maritime blockade of Gaza and run it. Nine Turks were killed in the ensuing violence when Israeli naval commandos boarded the ship. John Kerry spoke after meetings in Istanbul. Asked about the recent thawing of relations between Israel and Turkey, Kerry said of the Mavi Marmara incident, "I know it's an emotional issue with some people. I particularly say to the families of people who were lost in the incident, we understand these tragedies completely, and we sympathize with them and nobody. I mean, I've just been through the week of Boston, and I have deep feelings for what happens when you have violence and something happens and you lose people that are near and dear to you. It affects a community, it affects a country. We're very sensitive to that." Well, we can hope that Kerry just spoke off the cuff. He's not so used to being a diplomat. Turkey and Israel agreed to normalize ties just recently after Bibi Netanyahu, prodded by President Obama during his visit to Israel, apologized for the raid and agreed to compensate the families of the nine Turks killed.
Where it began, I can't begin to know him. But then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands, touching hands. Reach
reaching out, touching me, touching you.
In more positive post-Boston Massacre news, geriatric Jewish pop star Neil Diamond flew to Boston from L.A. and sang Sweet Caroline live for the Red Sox game at Fenway, a Boston tradition. I don't know why, but it's a Boston tradition. It was a great gesture of solidarity by the Jewish singer in the wake of the Boston Marathon Massacre, and frankly, I always liked that tune. Apparently, Neil Diamond wrote it for Caroline Kennedy, never told her until he was asked to play her 50th birthday party. Imagine. And that's the Two Jewish News of Jews all the way round the world. We are delighted to welcome back to Two Jewish our guest this morning, Rabbi Wayne Dossick, rabbi, author, speaker, spiritual guide, healer, who teaches and counsels about faith and spirit for the moving into the middle part of the 21st century, I guess. Teaches ethical values, life transformation, and human consciousness. He's the founder and spiritual guide of the Elijah Minyan in San Diego, a group of Jews seeking to shape and enter Judaism's coming new era through God-centered worship and learning, spiritual renewal, and personal growth. Rabbi Dossick has authored 8 books. His latest is called The Real Name of God, Embracing the Full Essence of the Divine, hosts a radio and TV show both on the internet, and is known for his innovative and creative approaches and trans-denominational approach to Judaism and to teaching meaningful ways to live. Rabbi Dossick, tell me a little bit about, do you think of yourself as a contemporary Hasid? How does Hasidism play into the structure of what you do?
Well, I often describe myself as an egalitarian neo-Hasid and an egalitarian neo-Kabbalist. Somebody described me as a rational mystic with a rational intellect with the soul of a mystic. I center everything I do around coming into a deep, personal, intimate relationship, a loving relationship with God.
And when someone comes to you for personal counseling, for example, how do you do the intake? What's the evaluation process?
It's really a very simple question. What's going on? Why are you here? How can I help? How can I be of service to you? And it is what is being called these days spiritual direction. Spiritual direction means that the overriding and main question is, where is God in what's going on, or where is God not in what's going on in your life?
What do you think the main misconceptions most people today have about God are?
Well, too many people don't believe in God. Too many people, and this is probably the biggest for Jews, too many people are caught up and stop believing, or our kids go off to university and get PhDs in nuclear physics and Russian poetry, but they're stuck at a 12-year-old theology because the God of our Bible is often seen as an angry, harsh, vengeful, revengeful, male, authoritarian, domineering, militaristic God who opens up the earth to swallow the unfaithful and decimates enemies. And that God is also seen as the God of the Unasana Tokef of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, where the image is the old man sitting in the sky on this throne of judgment, opening the book of life and death and deciding who shall live and who shall die. And too many people in this rational age in which we live say, hey, that can't be a God. That can't be my God. My God's a loving, compassionate God. And so if that's the way God's portrayed, if this is to whom I have to pray when I go to shul, or if this is of whom I have to hear when I come to hear Torah read. I don't want to come. I don't want to hear. I don't want to deal with that kind of God.
I sometimes tell people I don't believe in that God either. Now let's talk about how you might conceive of God. How do you explain God? What is the real name of God?
Thanks for asking. The issue to me was actually threefold, two of which I just spoke about, that angry, harsh, revengeful, male domineering God, the notion that the God language is all male, and this one perfect God behaves in such a poor way and has so many different names. So my question was, how can the one perfect God have so many different names? How can the one perfect God behave in this way? And how can we deal with the one perfect God who is seen as a male and given male God language? And so I concluded that none of the names that we have for God is God's real name. If you picture a beach ball, each one of the names that we have is one of the panels of the colored beach ball. One of the colored panels of the beach ball, each representing one aspect or attribute or characteristic or manifestation or behavior of God. But my question was, what's the name of the whole beach ball? What's the name of the divine beach ball, the one God who encompasses the everything of the everything? And so I went back into the Bible looking for that name, and I found it.
And?
So God's real name is Anochi. Anochi. Anochi is usually translated simply as I. But we have another word for I. Of course, we have Ani, which is the personal ego, the small self. Anochi is the totality, the fullness, the completeness of God. One of the other things I learned is that Elohim is not a name of God. It is rather the office of God on earth. So at any given time, Anochi, the beach ball, puts an aspect, one of the panels of the beach ball, into the office of Elohim to be God representative on earth at that moment. So, for example, in the third chapter of Exodus, we read, Va'era Elohim Yitzhak Yaakov Ba'el Shaddai. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai, the nurturing feminine aspect for the patriarchs and the matriarchs. Ushmi Yahweh, Ushmi Yudhei Vavhei, Shmi Adonai, my name, God, Yudhei Vavhei Adonai, Lo Nadavati Lahem, I never revealed to them. So at that exact moment, El Shaddai is being taken out of the office of Elohim, and Yudhei Vavhei Yahweh Adonai is being put in for the purpose of getting the slaves out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. That is the male dominant figure of God. And so, you take a look at some of our major texts and where Anochi appears, and so the first one that occurs is the Ten Commandments begin, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeitcha Me'aretz Mitzrayim, usually translated as, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. We translate, Anochi, I source, I the whole God, put Yahweh into the office of Elohim in order to bring you out of the land of Egypt. Or, V'yahavta et Hashem Elokecha, Asher Anochi mitzavecha hayom. In other words, the CEO is saying, I've appointed a COO, and I tell you to love that COO as if you would love me, because he, in this case he, is my representative on earth.
So it's a powerful image. It shows up a number of times in that way. I also think about Jacob's ladder and the dream. God was in this place.
Exactly.
I didn't know.
Excellent, Rabbi. Thank you so much. So. That's the whole point. That whole problem that our good friend and colleague, Rabbi Larry Kushner, wrote a whole book about.
Yes, he did.
The commentators throughout history did not know what was going on in that verse. I did not know.
Right.
Now we know what it is. Yahweh was in this place, but I wasn't aware of Anochi.
Yeah. Fascinating.
Also used, by the way, in the voice of human beings. Anochi is used 359 times in the Bible, 141 times in Torah, 248 in Nach, in prophets and writings.
Just approximate numbers now, of course.
Just approximate. Rabbi Google helped me with that one. So it's also used in the voice of human beings, as in Hashomer Achi Anochi, am I, says Cain, my brother's keeper. Keeper. So what's happening there is that the person is asking, how do I touch the God within me, the immanent God, not just the transcendent God of creation and history, but how do I touch the God deep within me? How do I come into the relationship with my God self? How do I behave in the most godlike way possible?
So following up, the immanent God is usually understood Kabbalistically as the Shekhinah, the feminine indwelling presence, rather than masculine. Anochi seems not so feminine.
Anochi is the everything of the everything, male and female, light and dark, good and evil, right and wrong.
Transcendent and immanent.
Transcendent and immanent.
So how does that work with the Shekhinah?
Well, Shekhinah is one aspect of Anochi.
I see.
And what we're finding right now is that the divine masculine and the divine feminine, which have been separated for so long, actually since the fall at Eden, the divine feminine and divine masculine are being braided together again in the heavens and reflected here on earth, because in order for us to move toward Eden again, we have to bridge the gap that has been the male-female gap all these years, the masculine-feminine gap all these years. And that's what's beginning to happen. That's why the feminist movement is 40 years old now. That's why we ordain women rabbis, and we have women doctors and women attorneys, and the whole downplay, feminine being pushed underground for all these years is now rising to the surface again, and that braiding is taking place, and that's one of the reasons that we have discovered Anochi at this place in time. By the way, I have to tell you that I'm not the first one to figure this out. The sages throughout history knew it, and they left us hints in the Midrash, in the Talmud, in the Zohar. The Ishbitzer Rebbe knew, and they left us hints in their writings, which I put into the footnotes of the book, The Real Name of God. And it just wasn't the right energetic moment in time for them to reveal what they knew. This is the right energetic moment in time for all these reasons, that Anochi is a genderless, or better, genderful word, which encompasses male and female, gets rid of the he, she, it problem, although English grammar and Hebrew grammar doesn't help a whole lot.
No.
It is
no.
The transcendent and the immanent God. It is the understanding that the harsh, angry God is only one aspect of Anochi, and it is the call to oneness, the call to oneness consciousness, where this discovery says to at least the three Abrahamic source religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, there is one God. That one God is the parent of you all, regardless of what you call that God, daddy or mommy or papa or mama, whatever you call that God, there is one God. And the theme song of the world right now, which seems to be my God's better than your God, isn't true at all. And so God is saying to us, I love you all. I love all my children. I don't play any favorites. I love you all. I don't care how you talk to me in this language, this prayer, that prayer, this name, that name. I love you all, and I hope that you will love me, and I hope that you will love each other. Because we have come to that place with our technological skills that either we learn to live together in unity and harmony, or we destroy each other and perish from this earth. So that's why this discovery has been made at this energetic moment in time.
So I appreciate that. I want to come back to one other aspect of God. You said Anochi includes both aspects of the divine, but that would include Elohim, the aspect of judgment, because without justice, Bob Marley said, no justice, no peace. How is that incorporated into the notion of a God who loves everyone, who wants everyone to love everyone else? Everybody agrees with that. Is there also a sense of justice?
Well, of course, and there's a sense of evil, too. You know, the prayer that we say after Baruch Hu, Yotzer Or V'Rechoshech Oseh Shalom V'Reitakol,
which means,
you know this.
Of course.
You know this.
Course.
A lot of people don't. The prayer writers sanitized that verse from Isaiah,
right.
And they say,
right.
And you created everything. That's what we say in the morning prayer. But the Isaiah text says, V'Reitara, you created evil.
Right.
There
right.
is everything of the everything. And basically what God says to us is, here's my panel of good, here's my panel of evil, here's the good within God, here's the evil within God, and I ask you, my children, to choose for your behavior my panel of good much, much more than you choose my panel of evil. And when those do choose the panel of evil, I ask you to use your good to overcome their evil.
I want to thank Rabbi Wayne Dussek for a great visit. Feels too short. We'll have to do it again. His new book is called The Real Name of God, Embracing the Full Essence of the Divine. You can find it all over the internet. No, you know, you no longer have to tell people to look for bookstores. What's your website,
Wayne? The website is www.godisanochi, GodisAnochi.com. And there, amongst everything else, there are 30 chants in the book, chants, C-H-A-N-T-S, that help us get in touch with the God within us. And you can listen to all those chants, as we used to say on the old South Side of Chicago, free for nothing. Or you can buy a download or a hard copy CD. And these chants can become part of your personal spiritual practice to be in touch with the God within you.
Fantastic. Again, thanks so much, Wayne. Hopefully we'll talk again soon. When we come back on Too Jewish, we'll hear about next week's guest get a final musical playout.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
Thanks for being here with us this morning on Too Jewish with me, Rabbi Sam Kohan. Join us next Sunday at 9 o'clock. Our guest will be Professor Faten Goshen, an extraordinarily articulate expert on the Arab world who will explain Israel's neighbors to us with great insight, tell us just what the Syrian civil war is all about, and fill us in on Lebanon and the whole of the aftermath of the Arab Spring. Our playout this morning comes from Danny Masseng, his setting of Elohai Nitzor, a prayer asking God to keep us from reacting to negative speech and to remain holy. My friends, may you be blessed with a Shavua Tov, a good week, and a week, we pray, of peace.
Elohai, Elohai.
they create.